The Supreme Court ruled last month that prisoners in Guantanamo Bay have the right to challenge their detention in federal court. The White House says that could result in detainees being released onto American streets. Legal experts say that's unlikely. Major David Fracht is an Air Force lawyer with the Judge Advocate General Corps. He's representing a Guantanamo detainee named Mohammed Jawad. Jawad is accused of attempted murder. He allegedly threw a grenade that wounded two U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan in 2002. Last month, Fracht appeared before a Guantanamo military tribunal to plead for the dismissal of Jawad's case. He says his client's been subjected to sleep deprivation, a form of torture. Frack says when the Pentagon called on military lawyers to defend Guantanamo prisoners, he volunteered.
I felt very strongly that the detainees deserve to have the best defense available, that if these hearings, these commissions were to have any legitimacy, then they needed to have a very vigorous defense, and I just thought that I would be capable of doing that.
Out of curiosity, were there a lot of people, attorneys, responding to the Pentagon's call for counsel?
I think there were quite a few. I think there were more that volunteered to prosecute than defend, but the Chief Defense Counsel has been able to pull together a very solid group of experienced, committed defense counsel.
Tell us more about Mohammed Jawad. I mean, who was he before he was captured, and what has he told you about the crime he's accused of?
Mohammed is a young man. He was 16 or 17 at the time that he was arrested in December 2002. He had a troubled childhood, spent much of his youth in a refugee camp in Pakistan. In the 5.5 years that he has been in United States custody, for most of the time, he has been in what I would call solitary confinement, what the United States government calls a single occupancy cell. So it's been very tough on him. Despite that, he's a very polite, very pleasant young man. I'm always moved by him because he always asks if I'm going to get into trouble for what I'm doing. He's very worried about the repercussions on my career.
He's worried about the repercussions on your own career.
Yes. For example, at the last hearing, I was confronting an Air Force general officer, and he said, "Don't do this if this is going to get you in trouble." And I said, "No, I will do what I have to do to properly defend you."
Can you tell us what the status of the case is right now?
Well, I filed a number of motions to dismiss. I filed a motion to dismiss based on the torture. I filed a motion to dismiss based on Mr. Jawad's status as a juvenile. I filed a motion to dismiss based on lack of subject matter jurisdiction. So all of those motions are before the judge, and I expect he will rule on them sometime in the next few weeks. The next hearing is scheduled for August 13th and 14th. But I'm hoping that hearing will never happen and the case will be dismissed prior to that.
A lot of questions have been raised over the last few years about what to do with these detainees once they're taken into custody. Do you think military commissions are the way to go?
I think that military commissions could work. The problem is that the Military Commissions Act really doesn't guarantee a fair process or a fair trial for the detainees. If we had utilized the pre-existing procedures for military commissions, which is the Uniform Code of Military Justice, I think we would have been much better off.
Now, you made a pretty powerful closing argument at the pretrial hearing. What was the thrust of the argument you were making that day?
The thrust is that the United States has acted in a lawless manner, that we have abandoned our traditional role and reliance on the rule of law. And if we torture someone, if we violate the law of armed conflict and international law, then we should not then have the opportunity to prosecute an individual for his alleged violation of the law of war.
I mean, this is, after all, a military hearing, though, and it was judged to have these hearings because these are special times.
Well, I don't buy that argument that these are special times. The law of war is a constant. There are treaties that we have signed. There are obligations that the United States has. And it's this mentality that somehow this is different and that we need to come up with a new set of rules that has got us into so much trouble.
Major Fracht, I'm wondering if perhaps you could read for us what you felt was the most compelling part of your summation.
Well, I'd be happy to read some excerpts from it. America is a nation founded on a reverence for the rule of law. We should never forget that when we take an oath to enlist or be commissioned as an officer in the United States Armed Forces, we do not swear to defend the United States. We swear to support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. The oath of office for the President contains similar words. I do solemnly swear that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Tragically, under the undeniably heavy pressure to defend Americans from terrorist attack, some of our military and civilian leaders lost sight of their obligation to defend the Constitution as well. Under the Constitution, all men are created equal, and all are entitled to be treated with dignity. After 6.5 years, we now know the truth about the detainees at Guantanamo. Some of them are terrorists, some of them are foot soldiers, and some of them were just innocent people caught in the wrong place at the wrong time. But the detainees at Guantanamo have one thing in common, with each other and with us. They are all human beings, and they are all worthy of humane treatment. America lost our position as the world's leading defender of human rights, as the champion of justice and fairness and the rule of law. But it is a testament to the continuing greatness of this nation that I, a lowly Air Force Reserve major, can stand here before you today with the world watching, without fear of retribution, retaliation, or reprisal, and speak truth to power. I can call a spade, and I can call torture, torture. Restore a bit of America's lost luster. Set us back on a path that leads to an America which once again stands at the forefront of the community of nations in the arena of human rights. Dismiss these charges.
Major Frack, thank you for reading that. It's an impressive summation. What was the reaction in the courtroom to your words?
Well, there were some tears, and it was basically some silence.
You refer there to being a lowly Air Force Reserve major and being able to stand before the court and speak truth to power without fear of repercussions. What has the response to your arguments been? I mean, Muhammad Jawad, as you said, was worried about, you know, what repercussions this would mean to you and your career.
Well, I have only received a positive feedback from around the world. I've received many emails of congratulations. I have not received the slightest bit of negative attention. So I am confident that the administration is determined to have fair trials and to allow defense counsel to vigorously and zealously defend their clients, and that no one will interfere with that.
Air Force JAG Major David Frack defending Guantanamo detainee Muhammad Jawad in the military commission. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, and happy 4th of July.